we left off Sunday morning just beginning to look at Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in verses 16 through 19 of the third chapter. And we had talked a little bit about Paul was an individual who was very concerned, deeply concerned about the church, about the continuance of the church, that the church would continue and in its pure and unadulterated form, continue unadulterated in its teaching, in its worship, in its work, in its organization. And we noticed the 32nd verse of Acts chapter 20, when Paul was with the Ephesian elders, and he said, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And in the 31st verse, he exhorts them, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." So again, Paul is an individual who's very concerned about the church, and he's written this letter to the Ephesians. It's usually dated, I believe, between 62 and 64 A.D. And where has he written this letter from? From prison in Rome. And in the starting in the 16th verse of chapter 3 of Ephesians, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So we noticed four points about this prayer for the Ephesians, that they might be strengthened through God's Spirit, that Christ dwell in their hearts, that they be able to comprehend the breadth, length, height, and depth, and that they be filled unto all the fullness of God. So in these verses 16 through 19 is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Does anyone have any, David? Well, actually, Yes, he is talking about the Spirit. Let's get to that in just... He is talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's get to that in just a couple of minutes. Okay? But, yeah. But you're right. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, he uses this phrase here, riches of his glory, in verse 16. And this is not the first time that Paul has used this phrase, riches of his glory. He's used it in the 18th verse of chapter 1. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He uses the phrase riches of his glory in Philippians 4 and 19. He uses it in the 9th chapter of Romans in the 23rd verse. And he uses it in the letter to the Colossians in the 1st chapter and verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I just wanted to point out where Paul used this phrase, riches of his glory, in some of other, in some of Paul's other writings, because you know, there are some who want to say that Paul didn't write the letter to the Ephesians, but here we see this same phrase used by Paul in other letters to other churches. David? Yes.
Because he shed his blood for us. And not in us, it's no personal glory to what we do. But it wants to have a faith. And filled it with the knowledge of the God's glory, are filled with the knowledge of
okay. But notice here that in the 16th verse, he uses a phrase, according to the riches of his glory. When he uses these words, grant and according, and when you look at the phrase riches of his glory in these other verses that I pointed out, they seem to refer to the granting or the giving by God as being, it's almost like God's standard of giving is bountiful or overflowing. That, well, in other words, that as I've said here, that the riches from which God can supply us, okay, they're too great to measure. They're riches of every kind, material and spiritual. But if God strengthens us according to his riches through his Spirit, then we have the strength to overcome any temptation. Because we're talking in the 16th verse here about strengthening the inner man. Strengthening the inner man to live as we ought to live, to walk by faith, to walk according to the gospel. And who can tell me what 1 Corinthians 10:13 has to say? Bruce? Okay. So, do you... question is, do you believe what that verse says, that there's no temptation that we can't overcome because God will provide a way of escape? Okay, and there's a way, we're going to see through the study of verse 16 that there's a way that we get strengthened. Now it says through the Spirit, but how does that happen? Well... Now, it says that it's through His Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. However, when we think about the Holy Spirit, and we think about what we've studied in the Bible, about the work of the Holy Spirit, how some of the work described in the Bible was a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. And that kind of work in the Scripture I have listed up here as R.I.C., Revelation, Inspiration, and Confirmation. David? Okay. Well, right. That's correct. Through the Word of God, that's the revelation we have today. That's the only revelation. That's the final revelation. And that would be through work already done, already accomplished by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, when the Holy Spirit directly operated, shall we say, it was in the areas, it was about revelation, it was about inspiration, it was about confirmation. Confirmation of the Word of God. Now, so there's two possibilities that exist on how the Holy Spirit works in the Christian's life, and that's kind of what we were talking a little bit about a few minutes ago, David, in verse 16, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Yes, that's the confirmation. Well, okay, let's take a look. I listed some verses here. Let's take a look at Revelation. Let's see. David Dixon, could I get you to read Matthew chapter 10? Verses 19 and 20. Okay, so when Jesus sent out the 12 in that scene, He's telling them that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to them what they should speak. And Randy, could you read John 16:13? Okay, so the Holy Spirit was going to disclose to the apostles the Word. He was going to reveal the Word to the apostles. And He was also going to inspire the apostles. Randy, let me pick on you again. Could you read 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13? Okay, so there we see that Paul is talking about words taught by the Spirit or inspired by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit confirmed the divine origin of the Word. Confirmed that the Word that the apostles were speaking was the Word coming from God. Randy, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. Okay. And Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, after it was at the first spoken to the Lord and was confirmed by those who to us by those who heard? Also, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles.
Okay, so there, the apostles, they worked miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit to confirm that what they were teaching was the Word of God. So, so the point is that when it came to how the Holy Spirit operated directly in men's lives, the Holy Spirit operated by revelation, by inspiration, and by confirmation. Now, as we said in the previous slide, there were two possibilities about how the Holy Spirit acts in the lives of men. Yeah. Well, the Holy Spirit was the personality in the Godhead who performed the function of revealing the Word of God and simply taught or inspired the writing down of the Word of God by the apostles and inspired the actual words used. Not just the thoughts, but the actual words used. I guess what I'm getting at is that it was the Holy Spirit who was the personality in the Godhead that did the actual revelation of the Word. Okay? And revealed it by inspiration. But I agree with you, they are pretty close in meaning. It is kind of hard to separate. And they were, yes. Yes.
It's easy to differentiate those two from the confirmation. The confirmation's already been done. There hasn't continued the gifts of seed. The miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit that were used to confirm the Word.
Those have ceased. Right. Okay. As I said, it seemed to me there was a category there of revelation and by inspiration and confirmation, of course. John? Yeah.
So they go hand in hand, but I don't think
you could perhaps say that inspiration manner in which it was revealed, as opposed to writing on the tablets of the commandments in the Old Testament, so or a quality of the way in which it was revealed. For instance, if I reach hold some truths, I wouldn't be revealing it. This is something that's new, so it's revelation, and it's inspired because it's the exact
Revelation didn't take the form of the Holy Spirit just simply miraculously providing, these letters on vellum or papyrus, exactly, to use the example. The revelation didn't come that way. It came by inspiration. Okay. Now, so we see how the Holy Spirit has operated directly in the lives of men. And that was centered around, and that was all about, the revelation of the Word of God and confirming the truth of the Word of God, confirming what was spoken, what was preached. Now, the other way would be an indirect operation of the Holy Spirit. And now we're starting to get to the content of verse 16, David, that the work which the Holy Spirit accomplishes now is through the Word, through the agency of the Word, that He has already revealed, inspired, and confirmed. In other words, if we take a look at how the Holy Spirit operates indirectly, to use that word, we see that whatever the Holy Spirit does, the Word of God does. The Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God. Randy, John 16:8, please. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is going to convict sinners of their sin, and in Acts chapter 2, at that point in Peter's first sermon, what does the crowd have to say in verse 37? They were convicted of their sin, weren't they? Why were they convicted of their sin? They had just heard the Word of God, hadn't they? Well, they had just heard the Word. In other words, the point is, the Holy Spirit convicts sinners. The Word of God convicts sinners. Now, Randy, how about John 3 and verse 5? Okay, so you have to be born of water and you have to be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God, right? Now, what does Peter write in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23? Okay, so they were born again through the Word. Notice, the new birth comes through the Holy Spirit, but the new birth comes through the Word. Okay, sanctification. Now remember, the gospel contains a call, not just for obedience, not just to obey the gospel, but the gospel contains a call to holy living, to sanctification, to a life set apart. Now, Randy, 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. Okay, so by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and then, Randy, but you could probably almost quote John 17, 17, couldn't you? Okay, so we're sanctified by the Word as well as by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so again, we see that whatever the Holy Spirit has done, it's doing it indirectly through the Word of God. Now, Randy, you're doing a good job tonight. Titus 3 and verse 5. Okay, so we are saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And what does James 1:21 say? To receive with meekness what? The implanted Word of God, which is able to save your souls. So we see that the Word of God saves us. And the Holy Spirit and the Word both cleanse us. Randy, 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. Not quite there yet. Yeah.
Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God.
Okay. So you were sanctified in the Spirit of our God. You were washed. You were justified. You were cleansed. And then, in the fifth chapter of the letter that we're studying, Ephesians, verses 25 and 26.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her and cleanse her by the washing of water with the word.
Okay, so the church, every individual Christian, as they become a member of the church, they're baptized by the Word and water. Now, Randy, we can go into Romans. Romans 8:14. The Holy Spirit leads us. Okay, so if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, we walk according to the Word of God, according to the gospel. So we follow the the Word of God. And Randy, would you read 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7?
1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus
Okay, so just like in your sermon Sunday evening, if we walk in the light, if we are led by the light, we are sons of God. And now, Ephesians 3:16.
Ephesians 3:16.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit works through the agency of the Word, we're talking about being strengthened here through the Word of God. Ephesians 3:16, strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. And as we noticed earlier in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The word is able to build you up. Randy?
The verse that we skipped up there was Romans 1:16, and that mentions power too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, David, what we're talking about here, really, in Ephesians 3:16, is that to be strengthened with might. And that phrase, with might, there in the original Greek just seems to be translated to be mightily strengthened through His Spirit. In other words, through the Word of God. Because you see, we see that the way the Holy Spirit is operating today is through the agency, through the medium of the Word of God. So the inner man, the inner man is strengthened through the Word, through revelation, through the Word of God. So every action of the Holy Spirit today in human conviction, conversion and consecration of life or sanctification is carried out by the revealed Word of God. And the inner man here, the inner man in verse 16, just so we don't skip that topic, that refers to the non-material part of our being, our spirit, conscience, mind, and emotions, as used in Romans 7:22 to describe the part of our nature that delights in God's law, contrasted with the fleshly part of our makeup, which has a problem with sin. As Paul mentioned to the Corinthians, the inner man, about the inner man, though our outward man, the physical body, perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And how? By the Word of God. So, so this is a prayer in verse 16 that they be abundantly or overflowingly strengthened in the inner man by the Word of God. Bruce? Right. And it's the Word of God that does that, furnishes you complete unto every good work. Yes, that's what it means in the original Greek. So this is not some statement about the Holy Spirit operating on you directly, but this is about the Word of God strengthening you. Randy?
I was just thinking it's all a matter of grasping the oneness of God. It's hard to separate the message from the messenger. Especially because John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word is identified as Christ in verse 14. So if the Word is Christ and the Word is revealed through the Holy Spirit, and God is revealed by Jesus Christ,
it is. They all had certain roles. Yes. Okay, and I have about 1 to 2 minutes left. So Paul prays that their inner man, for each of the Ephesians, be strengthened through the Word of God. And so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He prays for this strength so that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. Randy? Okay. That's a very good point, because there are those who want to erroneously teach that there is God the Father, God the Son, and that the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God is not a separate personality. But it is like the spirit of a spirit, in other words. Okay, so if we were to paraphrase verse 16, we might say, praying that the Father would grant you in a manner according to the great riches of His glory, that you may be mightily strengthened in your inward man by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, in other words, the Word of God, so that you will have the necessary strength to live as you ought to live. And He wants that for the Ephesians, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. time out? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll pick up with verse 17 on Sunday.